Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Knowing Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio. In the past few months, we've discussed various topics related to being rapture ready, from the need to repent to being a soldier in God's army and using the full armor of God that he gave us as his beloved child to protect us against the enemy, who, of course, scripture tells us is not a man, but the enemy is a principality, power, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wideness in the heavenly places. Two, of course, reading versus studying the Bible that we talked about last week. So today I want to talk about something that's very, very difficult for most because, again, the whole point of our series since we've been back on the air is to get you to be rapture ready. So again, today's topic is something that's difficult, yet it's something we're commanded by Jesus to do. Pray for our enemies. And I'm not just talking about enemies from a soldier's standpoint, where we've got the full armor of God to protect us. I'm talking about where it's our obligation as soldiers to do battle. And like I say, although that's a good analogy for our Christian walk, we'll get to that in a moment. What I'm talking about are those we feel are against us, or for that matter, those we hate, those who are antagonists in our life. We're definitely commanded to pray for these individuals or groups of people. Yet, boy, it is really hard. And in the second half of our broadcast, we're also going to kind of segue on that to talking about people who are actually closer to our hearts, people in our personal world that we are to pray for. But it's hard. And to me, this is harder than just praying for our enemies because it's more personal and brings more emotions to the surface, more of an internal fight on our part to pray for someone who has personally offended you on the emotional level. But Jesus commands we pray for these people as well. It's our obligation and duty as Christians walking in the path of his righteousness. So when I'm talking about our enemies, let's say we're talking about Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, we have to pray for these people. They are definitely our enemies, but we have to pray for them. That's the kind of enemy I'm talking about in the first half of our show. The second half of our show is going to get closer and more personal to talking about maybe a relative or your neighbor, someone who is much closer in your personal sphere, maybe a coworker. It could be a husband or a spouse or a wife. So what does it mean to pray for your enemies? Jesus himself told his followers to pray for his enemies. And when we do, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says that we will be children of your Father in heaven. Praying softens our heart as we let go of our own personal agenda. And most of it, of course, allows us to become more like Jesus. Now, Carol Stratton wrote a great article published in Christianity.com, and it's pretty basic, but explains things really well. After all, we are emotional creatures. We were created that way for a purpose, which is going to be our topic for next week's broadcast. And anyway, I'm talking about praying for our enemies, and this isn't something that comes natural for many, even something that we think about. It's more often that we want to damn these people to hell, for example. But Jesus commanded us to pray for them. Remember, Christ lives in each of us. Therefore, if he was presented with someone as an enemy, he prayed. And in each of us, personally presented with someone who offended him, he still prayed. And so we must, because we've got Christ living in us. So continuing on with Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, what do they say? They have Jesus saying, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, Jesus didn't suggest we like them or ignore them, but through our prayers, we bring them to the throne of God and we bless them. And when we do, Matthew chapter 5, verses 45 and 48 continue, that we will be children of your Father in heaven. In other words, Obeying this commandment marks us as people related to God Almighty. And then Jesus added that if we pray for those who persecute us, it will be painful to them, which is kind of an interesting concept, isn't it? As our enemies receive blessings via our prayer, they're going to feel miserable. They're going to be weighed down with burning coals on top of their heads. We know this from Romans chapter 12, verse 20. And because when someone is against you, they expect you to retaliate. So turning the other cheek and petitioning God for your enemy's needs is the very last thing that they expect. Take a step back. Let's try and define who an enemy is. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, an enemy is one that is antagonistic to another, something harmful or deadly, or a hostile unit or force. Well, enemies don't have to be those out to kill us. That can be a gossipy neighbor who wants to ruin your reputation, or a competitive business with cutthroat methods to put you out of business. And it's natural to shy away from those who mean us harm. It really is. And it, like I say, when we get to the second half of our show and our discussion next week, it's even harder because it's on an emotional level. But if we want to walk in obedience to Jesus, we're going to pray for these people. So now it's interesting to watch what happens to us as we pray for our enemies. What happens? We grow in our commitment and connection and maturity in Christ. It's almost as if we connect with him and let his spirit flow through us as we pray for our enemies. And that's so important because what do we have to do when something is too difficult for us? We ask for his supernatural strength to see us through. We know we're trying to obey Jesus. We know that. If something's too hard, you pray, Jesus, help me. I know I need to do this, but I need your supernatural strength to help me achieve this task or accomplish this goal. And when we pray for our enemies, we forgive them. Remember, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32 tell us, to treat enemies with kindness, putting away the temptations to gossip or become bitter. So when we forgive those who are against us, we're actually going to start treating them differently, looking at them through a lens of compassion. I prayed for Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and others of similar ilk for many years. And I really don't look upon them with bitterness or hatred. I know they're enemies of the state. They're our enemies as conservatives and as Christians. But yes, I do look upon them through a lens of compassion. It's so different. Praying softens our heart, and we let go of our own personal agenda. And most of all, of course, it allows us to become more like Jesus and to walk in his path of righteousness. So let's look at more scripture. And to me, Luke chapter 23, verse 34 gives us the best example of the heart of Christ praying for his enemies. And this is what we should fix our hearts on as well. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. Now, if Jesus on the cross, being crucified, dying with his very, very limited ability to breathe because of the positioning of himself on the cross, obviously with, you know, the full pressure of his weight bearing on his diaphragm, and not to mention the extraordinary pain and the full circumstances surrounding the crucifixion. Right there on the cross, Jesus himself, as an example to us, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I'm asking you people, how can we not follow his example if we have Christ in us? I'm just putting that out there. Earlier in Luke, chapter 6, verse 27 and 28 to be exact, Jesus commanded us with the following words. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 has Jesus saying similar words as the Gospels coordinate. Anyway, Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In fact, right before that verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And then he goes on, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's the full phrase. So, again, we have to pray for our enemies. Let that help you put on a lens of compassion. And when you do, it softens your heart. There's a whole lot less bitterness that you're carrying around. And again, praying for your enemies, we're walking in the path of Jesus' example. We're becoming more and more like him. We're becoming more mature Christians. So what about people who are closer to you, closer to your heart, closer to your situation, closer to your more immediate more immediate personal realm? Well, Carrie Lawrence wrote a great article entitled A Prayer for Dealing with People Who Bring You Down. And it's so important because, face it, we can't like everyone. Not everyone's our friend. Even those we love may frustrate us sometimes. Sometimes we fall out of love. And all you have to do is look around our world today, and you know that there are folks out there who are just plain no longer our friends. But we need to pray for them all. And it's not easy. So that's what I want to continue to focus on now in the second half of our show. And somehow, as I've said, it's easier to pray for those we know who are in a good graces, even if the person is emotionally neutral. But those who rankle our emotions negatively, again, who are close to us, say it's a brother or sister-in-law who you just really wish was not a family member. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? A friend you used to have, or even a friend that you had up until a specific incident happened, well, you got to pray for those people. And again, Scripture stresses over and over and over. It's a requirement we have as Christians who walk in the path of his righteousness to pray for those who do us harm, who are our enemies. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 also says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind with everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. And boy, honey, that's a difficult one for us, isn't it? That's a challenge, but these are things that we have to do so we can be as virtuous as possible in being the bride of Christ. We're trying to be rapture ready. Remember, there's a lot of people out there who are saved. Jesus is their salvation. Jesus has given them, has redeemed them. But there are very few who are in the remnant, only 500,000 of those millions who have been saved are going to be raptured. Let's try and be rapture ready. So continuing on, we all have people in our lives who try and bring us down for one reason or another. And it may be you have one parent that tries to bring you down all the time. My mom was that way. I would go out on a Friday night. I'd have a great date. First thing Saturday morning, boy, she was in my face about something. And my good mood from the night before, feeling like a princess who could have danced all night, was immediately taken down. Well, maybe it's a boss you have that's always criticizing you. Maybe you've got a friend that's very subtle in tearing you down. And it may be even your husband or wife who probably more than anyone else alive can frustrate you, anger you, humiliate you, depress you, and create a sense of bitterness and despair and a host of other emotions more than anyone else in the world, because they're closer to us than anyone else in the world. Yet you want to pray for them as well. Well, again, I mentioned the article by Carrie Lawrence, and she mentions that our emotions are tied up with how these people closer to us make you feel unworthy, fearful, and shamed, again, like no one else could do. So we have to remember our value and worth comes from Jesus, not man. Jesus tells us we're worthy. Jesus tells us we have nothing to fear. Jesus tells us we are not to be shamed. So when people close to us make us feel unworthy, fearful, and shamed, it's coming from man and not Jesus. And as such, through our prayers and actions, we're commanded to turn the other cheek, remember, just like Jesus did, and pray for those who offend us. And especially when we have emotional roadblocks in situations like this, the best way I know how to pray in this way is to ask the Lord to reveal himself in a way that's unique to the individual you're praying for and to their personal situation as well. I always ask the Lord to open their eyes, heart, and mind and soul in a way that would speak specifically to them. And of course, pray for yourself beforehand as well, asking for his help to move past the offense to see more clearly as he would, that although we're emotional beings, that he helped heal our pain and correct any misinterpretations we may have had with the person. And for example, here's one prayer you might say, and this is coming from Carrie Lawrence. Dear Lord, please help me when those around me try to bring me down. Allow me to recognize the hurts and issues in their lives and how those might have impacted that person's life and emotions, causing my hurt emotional reactions. Help me to keep my natural human emotional tendencies in check and not to retaliate back. Quietly remind me where my true worth and value really lie in you. Give me comfort in knowing that you are leading me on a better path and give me the strength to continue pursuing it. Please clear my heart of any issues that will hinder me from praying to those around me. In your name I pray, dear blessed Lord Jesus. Amen. It's essentially trying to take the higher ground and not retaliate. So, and as you know me, the most important thing is always asking for God's help in prayer. So that was just an example. Again, it's so critically important to take the higher ground and pray for these people who are your enemies, and people who are, I guess the more popular term now is frenemies. People who are closer in your personal realm who are your enemies. If we're going to be more like Jesus, if we're going to walk in the path of his righteousness, if we're going to be worthy of being considered his bride, part of the remnant, and being rapture ready, retaliation is not something that should be in us, in our spirit at all. We should be called to pray for these people. So, as always, you know the most important thing is always asking for God's help in prayer. If you need help on this or anything related to praying for your enemy or someone closer to home, for that matter, anything we've discussed in our shows that you may be having difficulty with, please contact us at info@knowingchrist.com, and I will get right back to you. Remember, people, we have to pray for our enemies and those who offend us. It is his command. It is his way. Jesus is in us. And through our passion for him, it's not a matter of wanting to or not. And this is kind of key. We may not want to pray for some of these people, but we have to, especially if we want to consider ourselves worthy Christians walking in the path of his righteousness as his chosen bride. Remember, he hasn't chosen everyone. He's chosen you and me. And with that, as a bride, we have obligations. And one of those is praying for those we probably don't want to pray for. So that brings us to the end of our show. Just a reminder, next week we're going to talk even more about our emotions and have been created as emotional beings. So that should be a pretty interesting discussion. As always, for more information or to contact us, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us in order to stay abreast of our announcements. I also have a ministry page on MeWe under the same name, Knowing Christ Ministries. I also encourage you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio so that you're notified of each new broadcast. As well, Blog Talk has a full archive of our shows of 10 and a half years now, so I encourage you to take the time to review our full listing. And if a title or series looks like something the Lord's leading you to at any given time, please give a listen. Until next time, this is Dr. Danielle West reminding you it's not what you know, but who you know. for Knowing Christ Ministries. I wish you a blessed day, and I thank you so much for